How many of you are grateful for God's amazing grace? Amen. So we've been talking about over the past few weeks. Before I get into today, let me greet our campuses. My name is Eddie Couples. I am glad that you are there. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries. So whatever campus you're at today, we're thankful that you joined with that local campus. But now as a corporate body, we're going into the Word of God together live. And I am excited to be able to talk to you about the amazing grace of God today. So I want you to grab your Bible or your iPad or phone or whatever you've got the Word of God on. And to all of you who are here, would you do that as well? Grab that and hold that up. Let's make our confession together, can we? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says that you have the power of life and death in your tongue. So as you confess that this morning, something is coming alive inside of you. Now, we've been talking about this whole aspect of amazing grace, and I told you that as we looked at this, and if you want to go to the book of Proverbs, the third chapter, that's our foundation scripture. I'll read it in just a few minutes. But we've been talking about this whole aspect of favor and grace. And when you read it in scripture, what you find is that if you see the word grace in scripture, most times you can translate that favor. Or if you see favor, you can say grace. They're interchangeable words. Most of them come from the same root word. The Greek is charis, which means a gift that God gives unto us. Now, we started this process the first week. We looked at the life of Joseph. Last week, we looked at the life of Esther and how that favor operated in each and every one of their lives. Now, today, I'm going to kind of bring it a little bit closer to home, and I'm going to start talking to us about how to attract favor into our lives. How many of you want more favor? Right? More grace, more favor from God Almighty. Well, let's get into it. The book of Proverbs says this, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart." So God's telling us how to do this. "For they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and," see that next word? "Prosperity," right? "Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man." The word there that we look at, the word favor or grace, as we see those, really is just talking about a supernatural force that brings blessing into our life. When you study scripture, I was reading some theologians and commentators this week about some things, and they were talking about how that God really doesn't care. Basically, their theology was God really doesn't care what happens to you as long as you get saved and go to heaven. And I read that and thought, I'm glad they're theologians, but I'm glad I don't go to their church. All right? Because God wants more than you just to go to heaven. If he just wanted you to go to heaven, the day or the night you got saved, he just took you to heaven. Right? Because how many of you know the day you got saved, you were saved? How many of you have had a moment or two since then? No, we're not going there. Right? You kind of wondered a moment. I'm not real sure today, okay? And so it's more than that. And so when you begin to study about favor and blessing and grace, what you find in Scripture is that it's associated a lot of times with benefits and happiness and the blessings of God coming into our lives. Now today, before we get into that part, I want to talk to you about stopping the flow of favor in your life. Now, I don't know about you, but if I can get the favor of God in my life, then there's probably the reality that I can stop the flow of blessing in my life as well, right? So how do we go about stopping the flow? I want to give you the negative before I give you the positive. The first thing is disobedience to the Word of God, okay? When we are disobedient to God's Word, it stops the flow of blessing in our life. In fact, here's what you need to understand about disobedience. The root cause of disobedience in our lives shows my distrust of God. Now don't miss that, okay, because I'll slow down on this. What happens is we really say, Lord, I don't trust you. I know what your word says, but I'm going to do what I want to do. And what that means is God, I distrust you. I really don't think you've got it all together, and so I'm going to do what I want to do. Well, what happens is in that moment when I am disobedient to God, I stop the flow of God's blessings. God can't bless me when I'm being disobedient. It's like your children. How many of you know you don't give your children good things when they're being disobedient? Okay, let me do some parenting. Some of y'all looked at me like, really? Let me help you with raising your children. When your children are disobedient, you don't bless them in that moment. All right? You don't say, oh, baby, you have disobeyed me so much today. Here's a brand new car. Really? See, here's what we need to understand, and I want you to carefully listen to me today. It's a whole lot harder to backslide than a lot of us think that it is. Okay, but the issue is not backsliding sometimes. The issue is, am I going to receive the blessings that God has? See, here's what happens when you are disobedient. Disobedience breaks the covenant. All right, you have a covenant with God. God says, if you will, then I will. That's what God always says. Study scripture. If you will, then I will. When I say, no, I won't, then I break the covenant and I'm not able to receive the blessings that God has because now I'm walking in disobedience against God. You say, well, I don't believe it works that way. Well, ask King Saul in the Old Testament. King Saul is told by Samuel, I want you to go and destroy the Amalekites. I want you to wipe them out. Do not leave anybody alive. Wipe out all the sheep, all the goats, all the houses, everybody. Kill them all. And so they go to battle and they come back a few days later and Samuel shows up and there's Saul and he looks at Saul and he says to Saul, did you do what I said? And Saul, like us, goes, oh yeah, I did everything you said. Now, if you know the story, there are some things that Saul brought back. He brought back oxen. He brought back sheep. He brought back the king. His name was Agag. He brought King Agag back and some of the royal people of the court of King Agag. He brought all them back. And so when Saul says to Samuel, I did everything that you said, here's what Samuel said to him. He said, what is that I hear? He said, is that not the sound of oxen and sheep that I'm hearing? And again, Saul's like us. He says, yeah, but you got to understand. How many times we told God that? Lord, you got to, I know I broke your word. I know I did what I wanted to do, but you've got to understand. And here's what King Saul said. He said, listen, I brought the king back because I wanted to show everybody how powerful God was. And he said, I brought all these sheep and oxen. He said, I was going to give sacrifices to God. And listen to what Samuel the prophet said to him. He said, Saul, it is better to obey than it is to offer sacrifices. Now watch what happened. He goes on to say, because of your disobedience, God has taken the blessing, the favor of the kingdom away from you, and he's giving it to another. In that moment, the blessing and the favor of God lifted off of Saul because of his disobedience. When I disobey God, the favor stops because I have broken the covenant with God Almighty. It's real quiet in here. Okay, secondly, the second reason that God and doesn't allow favor to come our way is because of our arrogance and self-sufficiency. The book of James says, but God gives us more grace, and that is why Scripture says that God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble, all right? Over 200 times in Scriptures, God talks about how much he can't stand pride and arrogance. We live in a world of pride and arrogance, all right? I'll get into this and we'll go somewhere, okay? The Word of God lets us know that all sin begins with pride. Don't miss it. You said, oh, no. Sin began because of somebody got drunk or somebody got addicted to cocaine or somebody slept with somebody they shouldn't be. No. All sin begins with pride. Lucifer is in heaven. There is no sin in heaven. Right? There wasn't a bar down the street that Lucifer could go in and, you know, hang out with the boys. Why do y'all do me like this? All right? You know, Lucifer wasn't going, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. I'll just break it down for you. All right? There wasn't any of that in heaven. There wasn't any loose women in heaven. Why do y'all get so tight? All right? I mean, there was none of the things that we point at as sinful. The only thing that happened, well, here's what Lucifer said. The book of Isaiah, 5 times Lucifer says, I will. I will ascend into the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the Most High. I will be like God. And God says, no, you won't. You're out. All sin begins with pride. All sin begins with arrogance. Here's the deal. True arrogance is because I am infatuated with myself. Don't miss it. Have you ever, some of you have heard me say this, have you ever met somebody who struts standing still? You understand what I'm saying? We live in a nation of arrogance. Some of you, now, you younger ones will know the reference I'm going for here, okay? There's a thing going around right now that this 13-year-old girl wants everybody to catch her outside. Young ones know where I'm going, all right? Okay? To a whole audience of Dr. Phil, catch me outside, how about that, okay? The ones laughing know that if you're not laughing, you're as old as I am, and I had to have millennials tell me this, okay? So the issue is that we got this 13-year-old girl who is so arrogant that she tells a whole group of people that's the kind of world we live in. Nobody wants anybody to tell them what to do. In fact, the third thing is, the reason that it happens and we lose it is because we ignore wise counsel. The book of Hosea says, my people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. And he goes on to say, because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priest. He's talking to the men and women of God. And he goes on and says, and in fact, this entire nation, I'm done with you. I'm tired of this. When we ignore wise counsel, what we don't realize is, and get ready. You ready? We all have blind spots. Don't miss it. In fact, would you look at your husband or wife if you're married and just go ahead, because you've been wanting to do this, say, you got some blind spots. Come on. Come on. You know you've been wanting to tell them that. You got some things I've been meaning to talk to you about. Right? Now, here's the deal. Let's give you the next part of this. It takes humility to listen. And there's a whole lot of people who don't want to listen to anybody. And when we stop listening, we push the favor of God out of our life. The fourth reason that favor stops, or the grace of God stops in our life, is because of greed. We live in a nation of greed. Okay, I'll say it again. We live in a nation of greed. They did a survey recently with fourth graders. Listen to me, fourth graders. I didn't say seniors in high school. Fourth graders, what do you want to be when you grow up? Here was the overwhelming response. Somewhere over 60% said, I want to be famous and rich. Last time I looked, neither one of those are a job. I want to be famous and rich. That's all we care about. We have so propagated a culture that exalts greed, and those who get 15 minutes of fame and stretch it out for 10 years. Are you kidding me? I won't go there because I'm going to get in trouble if I do. Are you kidding? You sit and watch those crazy families, and you wonder why your world is messed up? Let me just say this. If you're getting your advice from the Kardashians, you are in trouble. And I'll leave it at that. All right? Now, here's what God says. He says, will you rob me? And they go, Lord, how did we rob you? Book of Malachi, how do we rob you? And God says, you robbed me in tithes and offering. You didn't put me first place in your life. Here's the deal. The root of greed is fear. Don't miss it. The root of greed is fear. Why? Well, we're afraid we're not going to have enough. Bringing your tithe and offering, and yes, I'm going there, bringing your tithe and offering into the house of God is not about legalism or about money. It is about trust. Do I trust God? Is he my source, or is the government my source, or is the job my source? What's your source? If you can't trust God with 10%, how is God going to trust you with his kingdom? Do you really think you... Uh-oh. I got to back up. I might start preaching. We want the blessings. We want the good things. We want God to do all things. And yet God says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto us. I've got to put God first place. And one of the quickest ways to know that I'm putting God first place is, what am I doing with my money? When I make him number one, boy, it's nervous in this house. So I just talked to campuses. Okay, campuses, go with me. All right? When I make God first place in my finances, it comes down into every other aspect of my life. See, here's our deal. We're fearful that we won't have enough. That there's this insufficiency in our life. We're not going to have enough. We're fearful of what others are going to say or think about us if they know we put God first. We're even fearful of God because we don't think God is able to take care of us if we don't keep everything we got. And yet what I want to tell you is, it's all his anyway. And the moment I realize that is the moment I step into his blessing and begin to receive his favor. Now let me get out of the negative and let me get in the positive. How do we attract favor? Number one is, favor begins as a seed. Favor begins as a seed. The Bible says this in the book of Galatians, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a person sows, that he is going to reap. Listen to me. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Let me ask you a question. How many of you want favor? Guess what? How do you get favor? It's a setup, people. I gave it to you. Sow favor and you reap favor. Now, here's what's interesting. If favor is a seed, the Bible says that the seed is the word of God. Right? And the book of John says this, if you remain in me, Jesus speaking, and my words remain in you, you can ask whatever you want and I'll do it for you. What's God saying? He's saying you got to stay planted in him. You've got to allow the word of God to get inside of you. Do you know that a seed is so powerful? In fact, a seed is more powerful than concrete. Ever seen where a seed gets under concrete and literally breaks it apart because of the power in a seed? There is power in the seed of your life. When you say, I believe God's got great things for me, and I'm going to begin to take the word of God, I'm going to begin to sow the word of God, I'm going to begin to bless others so that I can be blessed, I'm going to begin to reciprocate in the blessings of God, that seed goes forth and it begins to perform. Now let me tell you something about seed. Seed is a treasure chest of DNA. All right? Now let me explain what I mean. How many of you know I'm not a farmer nor a gardener, and I don't want to be either one? all right? Never one time in my life did I ever say, man, I wish I could be a farmer. I want to go out there and sweat and, you know, ride around and dig up the ground. I've never been that guy, all right? But here's what I know. If I want to reap corn, I better plant. Come on again, people. I'm making it real easy today. Okay? Why? Because the DNA is in the seed. All right? In your life, if you want favor, the DNA is in the seed. If you sow, the Bible says, whatever you sow, that you will also reap. Whatever I give, whatever I do, however I sow, that's what I'm going to get back in my life. So favor is a seed. But secondly, favor grows. Favor grows. Luke, the second chapter, talking about Jesus, said this, and Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, he got taller, and in, see that word, favor with God and man. Now, if Jesus can grow in favor, don't you think you can grow in favor? Amen. Now, how does that work? Let's remember, number one, is that favor is like a seed. And here's what we have to understand. The book of Mark, the 4th chapter, the 28th verse, tells us how seed operates. It says the seed, all by itself, says the soil produces grain. First, the stalk. You put the seed in. First, the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. In other words, it's going to produce. And the scripture goes and say, and we don't even know how it happens. Now, here's what I want you to understand. Faith operates in your life like seed, right? Go with me because I'm going to help somebody, right? Faith operates. Now, here's what I want you to understand. Just because you read in the scripture and you walk around saying, he is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God, my healer, does not mean you're going to be healed. You can say he is my healer until the day you die sick. And all you've done, let's do it this way. How many of you know you can teach certain types of birds to talk? Right? Parrots and I don't know, whatever, but I'm not a bird guy. But here's what you need to understand. You could literally teach a bird to say, by his stripes I am healed. Quack! By his stripes I am healed. Quack! Right? You could do it, and I don't, you know, don't go out today and try. You could teach that. But how many of you know that bird does not have faith? See, here's what I see in the body of Christ. I see a lot of people who are parroting words. Can I read you the Bible? Let me read you the Bible. Let me read you from a different translation because all of you have this memorized, but the problem is that the way we've got it memorized, all we're doing is parroting. All right, here's the parrot version. Everybody ready? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Squawk! We just say it. We just parrot it. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now let me read it to you in a different translation. Ready? Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Totally different. It's not a parroting at this moment. Faith is confidence in what I'm hoping for. All right? Here's how faith works. It's a seed. By his stripes I am healed, but I don't feel healed. In fact, I don't even believe at that moment that I am healed. I just said it. Boy, it just gets quiet in here. But what I'm doing is I'm sowing a seed. And every time I say it, I sow another seed. And 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 nothing's happening yet because now it's in the soil of my spirit and it hasn't brought forth anything yet. There is no stalk. There is no ear of corn. There is not. It's just inside of me. But the Holy Spirit comes along and begins to water the seed that I am planting of the Word of God. And as I let the Holy Spirit water that seed, then that seed begins to germinate. That seed begins to break forth. And all of of a sudden you look at me and I still look sick and I still feel sick, but there's something on the inside of me that I know, that I know, that I know, that I've got the confidence. I don't see it, but I've got the confidence because something is growing inside of me that you can't see, that I can't see yet, but it is confidence in what I hope for and in the assurance of what I don't see. I'm sorry I'm preaching, but this gets exciting. When you begin to understand that, you begin to live at a different level. What you do is that you're not afraid then to make a confession that you don't have. Why? I'm not blessed at this point. I don't have all that I need at this point. I may be broker than Job's turkey at this point, but here's what I know. He is my provider. He has never left me. He has never forsaken me. He promised me that he would go with me to the end of the age, and what I have to do in that moment is sow seed. And it's not my responsibility. Listen to me, because some of you miss this. Some of you think you've got to have the faith. It's not up to you to have the faith. It's up to the Holy Spirit to produce the faith. No, you missed it. So I'll work it another way. See, the only thing that you are required to do is sow the seed. How do I sow the seed? Well, now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, the Rhema of God. So when I am in that place where I sow the seed of the Word of God and I continue to sow the seed of the Word of God, then there is this process that begins to happen and the seed goes down. And I don't know what it's doing. First the grain goes in, then the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel of corn. I don't know when that's going to happen, but I tell you, there comes that moment. There comes that moment when I know that I know. And I don't care what you say. I'm not trying to be rude. You can walk up to me and say, man, you look sick. And I go, I'm not. I may feel sick. Every doctor in seven counties may tell me I'm sick. But when the Word of God starts producing faith out of the seed that has been planted, I am not sick anymore. It just hasn't manifested yet where you can see it. But hang on, sweetheart. It is coming to pass. There's coming a moment. There's coming a day that this thing which God has been doing on the inside is going to manifest itself on the outside. I got to hurry. The more knowledge I have, the more favor grows. The more I get in the Word of God, the more God's Word gets in me and it grows. See, here's what you got to understand. The more I know Him, Jesus is who I'm talking about. The Bible says He was the Word. The more I know Him, the more I love Him. And if I love Him, the Bible says I'll keep His commandments. And that's the third thing. These flow one after the other. The third thing is obedience produces favor. The book of Proverbs says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. For they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. We talked about that, and he goes on, let love and kindness. And then he says, because that's going to produce favor in your life. Obedience brings and produces favor in your life. See, here's the deal. My faith produces my obedience. I'm going to slow down. I was preaching too hard, so I'm going to slow down. You ready? Understand this. I don't want to mess your world up. I don't want to, but there are times in my life that the reason that I do what is right is not because I want to do what is right. Now, that shouldn't surprise anybody that knows me. This may. There are moments in my life where I am believing God for something, that I have extended my faith in a certain realm, and I've said, I believe that God is going to do this. That in that moment that I am tempted to be disobedient, I remember my faith produces obedience in that moment because I know that if I disobey, I'm pulling up the seed that I have planted. And I said, no, 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 I've been working too hard. I've been planting too many seeds. I refuse to be disobedient now and pull up the seed of favor that's been being planted all these many weeks and months. So I'll just keep on being right. You say, that kind of sounds selfish. I don't care what you call it. It very well may be. Here's what I know about most of us. Most of us live life wanting to know what's in it for us. And you can pretend you don't, but you do. What do I get out of it? Why? Well, here's what you get out of it. If you walk with Him and you're obedient to Him, you get His favor in your life. See, obedience is the result of right thinking. When I think properly, then I obey. When I know, it's like your child. When a child is 3 years old, the street looks like the most wonderful place to play. It's flat, there's no obstacles. You can get a tricycle going at least 8 miles an hour. The problem is, as an adult, you know that there's a semi that's coming by that's going to be doing 55 miles an hour and it can't slow down. So you have to give them rules to keep them from playing in the street. But if they're 25 and they're still dumb enough to play in the street, we got an issue. Because by that time, right thinking should have come into their brain that said, you don't play in the street because you'll get run over and die. In your life, the longer you live for the Lord, the more you need to bring your thinking into alignment with His Word. Not only that, but obedience flows from my thankfulness for God's mercy. When I realize what God has done for me, I don't know about you, but when I realize how God has forgiven me and saved me and redeemed me. See, that's think about this. The moment that you get saved, here's how you get saved. It's that seed principle I was talking about. The moment you get saved is when you realize what Jesus did for you. When you come to that moment that says, you know what? Jesus Christ died for me. There's a seed that goes inside of your spirit. And in the moment that you say, you know what, I need to change my life. I need to realize that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. When you realize that and you begin to say, you know what, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to mess something up here. There are some things you have to do to get saved. Pastor, it's all been taken care of. There's nothing I have to do. Oh, yes, there is. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not going to get saved just because you came to church. Coming to church won't save you. I promise you, there have been a whole lot of people coming to church for years. You get saved when you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, the Bible says. When you say, wait a minute, the favor of God has appeared in my life, and Lord, I thank you. And in that moment, right thinking kicks in, and you say today, Lord Jesus, I'm asking you into my life. In that moment, you get saved. The fourth thing is, seeking good brings favor. Not seeking God, read it carefully, seeking good. Because that's what the Bible says. The book of Proverbs, the 11th chapter says, whoever seeks good finds favor. But evil comes to one who searches for it. Have you ever been around people who everything in their brain is evil? Why? Because they've searched for it. They've gone after it. They've looked for it for years. You and I've got to come to that place where we understand that we need to seek good. Well, how do I seek good? Well, the Word of God says that we need to value wisdom. Right? We need to value wisdom. When somebody speaks to us and it's wisdom, we need to go, okay, I'll listen to that. I value. In fact, the Bible says this about wisdom. It says that wisdom is the principal thing. And it goes on to say, with all you're getting, in other words, everything else you're getting in life, it says, get wisdom, and with wisdom, get understanding. It's the principle. It's the most important thing, Scripture says. So I've got to value wisdom. Secondly, I've got to listen to wisdom. Can I tell you something real quick before I wrap this up today? Yesterday, I'm going to tell you one of my driving things. You ready? Talking about listening to wisdom. I was driving yesterday, and I pulled up beside this car at the red light. and it was basically bouncing. All right? It was so loud. The hip hop was penetrating my car. The guy in there, he's going after it. He's got all the moves. Y'all know what I'm talking about. He's got the moves. We're sending it around. He's got the moves. He's doing it. I mean, and the cars, I mean, literally, my windows are vibrating. The problem was he was in a minivan. Come on. Come on, dude. You can't be hip-hop cool in a minivan. Just a word to anybody who's driving a minivan. The day you got the minivan, and I have one, you traded in your cool card. All right? 30, you ready? Can I give you anything spiritual now? Third thing is seek out wisdom. Not only value it, seek it out. Go after it. Make sure that you are bringing it into your life at every level. Because here's what you need to understand as I close today. Favor is God's reward in your life. The Bible says it this way about salvation. It says, before the earth was formed, a lamb was slain. In other words, before you and I were ever even thought of, God already had a reward for those who the Bible says would diligently seek him. To those who would say, you know what, I know that I need help in my life, God's favor says, I'm going to come into your life, I'm going to wash away your sins, I'm going to make you a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old things are going to pass away, and behold, all things are going to become new. Favor is God's reward in your life. The next thing I want you to remember is the favor of God brings the favor of man into your life as well. If you get God's favor on your life, even people who don't like you will promote you. You say, I don't believe that. Well, the scripture says, the heart of the king is in the hand of God, and he turns it however he wants it to go. If you get favor on you, they'll go, I don't know why I'm promoting them. I don't even like them, but I just got to promote them. I just got to bless them. I just got to give them a raise. I've just got to do something good. Why? Because you've got the favor of God on you. And lastly, favor brings promotion to the qualified. Remember that. You have to qualify to receive favor. It's just like I said about salvation. You're not going to get saved just because you came to church today. You're going to get saved when you qualify in that moment of saying, I need Jesus Christ in my life. I need to be saved. I want the blood of Jesus Christ to cover me. And in the moment that you say that, you now step into the place of being qualified to see your sins taken away and to walk into the favor of God's forgiveness. Amen.